Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Come on, Bobby.
All right, welcome to another week of the show.
Yeah.
It's Monday. More studio.
Morning.
Here's a little news for you. Tom Thread has been named the best-mannered artist in country music. The National League of Junior Cotillions makes a list of people who have great manners, and they name Thomas Rhett the best-mannered artist. I think that's a good pick. I know Thomas pretty well. Nobody dislikes Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very nice guy. What's crazy is he's a very nice guy, and he comes from
a good
place.
His dad had success, so like that. You're right. Good point.
So a lot of the people that I know that have really good manners, they were raised out the best of circumstances.
Yes.
And I guess they don't have a lot to do with each other, but for me, I always feel like the nicer people come from harder backgrounds.
So props to his parents on how they raised him.
Yeah, and he was raised by, his parents weren't always, they weren't together.
Right.
He didn't have a relationship with his dad till later. But anyway, there's Thomas Rhett. I was thinking who else would I put on the list of
polite.
Really nice people. Because sometimes you'll think someone's nice by their Instagram.
Yeah.
They're really not that nice person.
Who would you put on the list?
Of nice people?
Mm-hmm.
Keith Urban.
Yeah, for sure.
Always nice. Mm-hmm. Always just a cool dude, even if he's not in the best mood.
And he smells great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Big Town.
Yes, all of them.
All of them.
Every single four members of that band. Very nice.
Consistently very kind. And that would be my top three. Who would you put on the list?
Garth.
Yeah, Garth's nice.
Because, I mean, he's
all the time.
Huge. He's the GOAT, but he's always like, he'll open the door for you. He'll come right up to you, shake your hand, and look you in the eye. And
it's a good one.
Nice guy.
Who else? Anybody want to throw anybody on the list? Raymond, who comes to here that you think is super nice?
I thought your ex-girlfriend.
Oh, Lindsay? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Lindsay's awesome.
She's really nice.
She's one of the kind. Before she was my girlfriend, when we just met her, we were like, man, she's super nice. Lunchbox, who would you put on the list?
I'd put John Party on there. Every time I see him anywhere, he comes over, says hello, real generous and nice. So I put John Party on the list.
Anybody else you guys want to put on the list?
Are we
done? We locked in the list.
That's
up.
It. Everyone else
That's
is
what else means. There you go.
Bobby Bones. Recognizing people doing cool things.
It's ICU.
To a nurse out there, a big shout out. This woman named Tiffany Marshall posted a video of this unnamed Florida nurse helping her 5-year-old grandson get through his shots. He was really nervous. He's 5. Nobody wants a needle, especially a 5-year-old. But here is some of the nurse helping him.
Hold me tight. That's how we got to do the magic trick. Hold me tight. Ready? We're going to close our eyes. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ah!
Done. See that? You ain't cry. You a big boy. See that? All right.
I need that.
Yeah. Hold me tight.
I need that. Now I go, ah! I need that. I see you. To her, who's a nurse, we don't have her name. And all the nurses out there, I see you.
I see you.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
It's producer Raymond. Over the weekend, there were some big winners. A person in Florida won the Mega Millions. That was $450 million. And in New Hampshire, a ticket holder won the Powerball for $570 million. In New York at JFK Airport, they're still experiencing long lines and delays after that huge winter storm. They also had a water pipe break. There's going to be delays again today, they said, so make sure you get to the airport early. And finally, in Atlanta, the College Football National Championship is tonight. Alabama and Georgia. Kickoff 8-7 Central on ESPN.
Yeah. Bobby Bones
Show.
This guy in Ohio robbed a bank so he could buy an engagement ring for his girl. Don't you feel like if that's why you got to do it, maybe you should take a beat?
Yeah. Or like, just don't go too hard on an engagement ring. Go a little cheaper.
Yeah.
You can find one for a couple $100.
Authorities say a man robbed a bank in Ohio and used the money to buy his fiance an engagement ring. But a little bit. Let me present this to you.
Mm.
If you're her, are you like, wow, baby, you love me so much. You wanted the best for me.
Yeah.
So you robbed a bank.
I bet your man wouldn't rob a bank.
Yeah. Hey, Sheila, did your man rob a bank?
No.
No. You got that Cracker Jack ring.
Wow. My man loves me.
The Hamilton Middleton Journal News reports 36-year-old Dustin Peterson has been charged with robbing a Fifth Third Bank. Police say records show he spent $4,500 on an engagement ring less than an hour after the robbery.
Wow.
He didn't even waste time.
No, that was...
Give me all your money. He goes next door in the strip mall. I'll take that one. Didn't even take the mask off. The robbery netted him about $8,000. Police say he became a suspect because a guy wearing the identical hat that robbed the bank went back to the bank 6 days later in the same hat.
Right, there you go.
So, but they got him.
God. but he did it for love.
Yeah, does the jury go a little lighter? Because they're like,
everyone just, at the same time. Let him go.
You know what? Come on, we'll give him this one for free. He has an endorsement deal now with...
maybe it'll all work out for the guy.
Oh,
poor dude.
He's with Diamonds Direct now. Hi, I'm Ted Peterson for Diamonds Direct. I know you've heard about the exquisite selection they have there.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I robbed a bank to buy from Diamonds Direct.
If I did it, you can too.
Yeah, see? Diamonds Direct on the corner of Happy and Healthy. That's Walgreens. But still, right. That's funny.
The Bobby Bones Show. Bobby Bones.
Talk for your positivity on a Monday. So I'll do a story. Lunchbox will do a story. And today's special guest, Tell Me Something Good, is our producer, Raymond. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Okay, time for Tell Me Something Good. Let's go.
Tell me something good.
Lunchbox, you're up.
There's a family in Maine. They're sound asleep, enjoying their dreams, when all of a sudden they hear, woof, 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 woof. Their dog just starts barking crazily, going crazy, like, what is it? They wake up. The house was on fire. The dog smelt the smoke, woke the family up. They got out in time. Damage to the house, but everybody's safe thanks to Puppy.
Look at that. After a fire burned Bret Hart Elementary School in Modesto, California, the retired teacher Julie Nelson wanted to do something to help. The fire destroyed classrooms, a computer lab, and the library, so she started collecting books to replace the ones that were burned. She said, I'd like to collect hardback donated books for the elementary school, and please share. And she's had hundreds and hundreds of books. And so the community's also coming together because they saw her story to help replace things at the school, and quickly, instead of waiting for 2-3 years for it to cover. I thought that was pretty cool. Raymond, our guest, Tell Me Something Good, or what do you have?
Yeah, in Kentucky, a stray kitten got stuck to a boat dock. A family found him, didn't know what to do. They called the sheriff. Ernie, he came to the scene. He ended up pouring water on the cat, rescued it. It was there for 11 hours. It's all safe and sound.
So it froze to the boat dock?
Yeah, because it was metal.
Wow. That poor cat.
So then the family adopted the cat, and they named the cat Ernie after the
sheriff.
Oh,
wow.
I see now.
Great ending.
That's it.
Wow, that's some Tell Me Something Good right there.
Get your bones on Bobby Bones Show.
Back at it again here on Monday. Here's the thing that happens. So I'll open my email and there'll be about a page of segments that all of you guys have submitted. What our show does is no one knows what I'm going to talk about at any time.
This is true.
But everybody sends a couple things they think will be interesting. And I don't know what the ratio of me accepting bits is. What would you think it is in your head, Eddie? If you guys send 100%, what do I take at 100%?
I would say about 20.
Okay. So 1 out of 5 bits gets accepted,
yeah,
just generally.
That's fair.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah, and I'm proud of it.
So do you guys get your feelings hurt when it doesn't get, if you feel like it's a really good segment?
Absolutely, 100%.
For sure.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Even after this many years?
Dude, sometimes we'll do a whole week, and I was like, man, they didn't pick any of my segments. The whole week, and I'm like, gosh, I got to step it up.
Well, then you should just put that blame on me, because I'm the only one picking the segments.
Yeah.
It's not Morgan, number one, our producer, who's not on the air a lot. She just compiles it and sends it to me.
Yeah, she's our go-between.
Right. And then she organizes it, and I go through it early in the morning, late at night. But sometimes we'll do rejected segments.
Rejected segments.
There's a segment called Raymond Has to Sleep in the Same Bed as His Brother that he wanted to do.
This is from Raymond?
Yeah, yeah. He sent it, and he wanted to talk about how him and his brother were slept in the same bed.
Yeah, at 32 years old, I slept with another man. And this is almost a PSA to parents out there. Don't be chintzy when it comes to hotels. Get a full slate of rooms so that your kids don't have to sleep together.
Maybe they don't have money.
Right. My mom has money to pay for a $52 hotel room. I mean, me and my brother...
All right, time's up. There it is. That's why I was rejected, all right?
It's for the first time I slept with a man.
Rejected segments.
Rejected segments.
Lunchbox wanted to bring up that Raymond, again, our producer, is a big loser because he wore Garth gear to a Garth concert.
Oh, we went to see Garth Brooks over the break, and Ray shows up in a Garth sweatshirt and a Garth hat, and I'm like, how many times do I have to tell you, you look like an idiot when you go to a concert.
Why is that so bad? I don't think it's bad. I think it's passion. I love it. I love if you see somebody in like an old school Garth Brooks sweatshirt. I mean, they've been before.
You look like a goober and everybody's like, that dude.
See, that's why it was rejected. Rejected segment. Let's do one more.
Rejected segments.
We mentioned this, but Eddie wanted to dedicate a whole segment to patting himself on the back.
Oh, yeah. I thought everyone else had one. Like, what would you like to pat yourself on the back for?
Because he wanted props for taking down all his Christmas lights and trees and,
manner. And I was like, pat myself on the back. And then I thought for a second, but you know what? Lunchbox can't even physically...
Oh, sorry. That's why I was rejected segment. Oh, I got bored. There it is.
That was rejected segments.
Yes, yeah.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from South Dakota. A man walked into a Hobby Lobby, filled up a shopping cart with $4,000 worth of items, and ran out of the store. Only problem is, on the way, he's running out. His wallet fell out of his back pocket.
Yeah, that's something they don't think about a lot. Like, if I'm going to go raw, I'll leave my wallet in the car.
Oh, man. I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
You know, today, my stand-up comedy tour gets announced. And it's funny you mentioned Hobby Lobby, because I used to work at Hobby Lobby forever. Here's the story. This is actually from my stand-up comedy show where I'm talking about Hobby Lobby. Here you go.
Thank you for being here. I'm going to tell you, I have the luckiest job. I get to come out and tell you guys jokes. You know, I didn't always have the best jobs growing up. Jobs I hated, I was a maintenance man on a golf course for a while. I was a waiter. I worked at Hobby Lobby for a while. And I thought that job was going to change my life, and it did. My first day at Hobby Lobby, my manager walks in, throws the name tag to me. I catch it, look down at the name tag. Life was never the same. It said Hobby Lobby Bobby. Imagine if you're me and you're answering phones at Hobby Lobby like this. Hobby Lobby, this is Bobby. You get no girls.
Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Come on, Bobby.
I won't say his name, but I got an email from a listener. And he's getting married in a few weeks, and he says he has cold feet about the whole thing.
Oh, no. And he emailed you.
Mm-hmm. Because he wanted an unbiased opinion. If you go to your friends, they have a vested interest in your life.
Correct.
And they may think they know what's best for you specifically. So he's asking me, he's like, hey, I've never been married. So I would think that cold feet are natural. But you, Lunchbox and Eddie both have been married.
Yes.
Eddie, we'll start with you. You've been married for 12 years.
12 years.
He's getting cold feet. Now, did you get cold feet?
So I got, I wouldn't call it cold feet. I got like the, am I ready feeling of like, am I ready? Am I ever going to be ready? And I had to like kind of convince myself at that point in my life that I'd been with my wife for 6 years already, dating for 6 years, that I'm ready. I'm not going to find anyone else better than her. And I've, and that's when I decided to do it. So I don't know if that's cold feet or not, but I definitely felt like I need to discuss this with my inner self because I didn't know if I was ready or not.
2 kids later.
Yeah.
12 years later.
Yes.
Your advice to him is?
I mean, you have to weigh the circumstances, everything. It's not like, am I ready to get married? Like, it's not cold feet like, oh, like, I don't know. I feel like marriage is so hard. Well, yeah, marriage is hard. It's going to be hard. You're going to share a life with someone. But is this person the one that you want to spend the rest of your life with? Through the good and the bad, like you say in your vows, is this the one? And then if it's the answer is yes, then you're going to do it.
I had advice from a married guy. I won't say, we all know him really well. But he said, hey, you think about getting married? I said, yeah, I think eventually I might do it. I'm not anti-marriage, but, you know, I'm my 30s now. I've never been married, never been engaged. And so I said, well, how did you know? He said, you know, I thought about it. And I thought, does she ever annoy me? Do I see myself not being annoyed by her in 20 years?
Wow.
And I thought, nope. And so I thought, this is the one. So I did it. I said, it wasn't love. He said, no. He said, I really thought, is she going to annoy me in 20 years? And the answer was no. So I got married.
That's how he did it.
That's how he did it. And when I tell you who it is, later,
yeah, off the air,
you'll go, whoa, that's how he did it?
Interesting.
Lunchbox, you've been married for how long?
2.5 years.
Different set of circumstances. You got married later than Eddie did.
Yeah, later in life.
No kids. Now, did you have cold feet?
Absolutely. Everybody has cold feet, I think. Every guy has to realize they're giving up their freedom. They're giving up half of what they have. And they're giving up their options. Like, they are settling down saying, this is the one. Like, I can't just go out to a bar and kiss a random girl and... You just have to, it's just a natural, like, oh my gosh, I'm growing up. Like, I'm giving up a part of my life that was so fun and so crazy for this one person. And it's natural to feel that way because you're being tied down.
That's a weird way to put it.
How did you convince yourself to do it then? Because how you're proposing it, it sounds awful.
Well, I mean, at some point you have to grow up. Or
does grow up just mean marrying somebody? Like, I'm grown up. But I'm not.
Yeah, but you didn't do the kind of stuff that I did. Like, you didn't go to bars and just look for chicks and be like, tongue, mouth, let's go.
So you're like, saying I haven't partied myself out. You think, right, you partied yourself out.
Yeah, I may have partied myself out and I was just like, okay, she's pretty good. Like, she's good to put
she's
up.
She's pretty good.
Like, I she's going to be a good person to hang out with for years to come. And
do you feel like it's limited your options?
Absolutely, because I can't just go out to a bar or like go to a concert and see a girl and be like, oh, yeah.
Does that ever bother you still?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
That's only now. I think it bothers everybody. When you're when you're married, there's always sometimes you meet someone and you're like, oh, man, that girl would be pretty cool.
Like, you think
like she's got a good personality.
Be pretty cool.
So like, what advice do you give him about to get married? I think he's 27 years old.
27. Oh, that's awful young to be getting married. But you propose, you already got the date. Show up.
It's over.
I feel like if
it's
you've
over.
Made all these decisions to get to it, you've made them with a lot of thought. You've had a lot of time to have a lot of thought. You're having no time to have these thoughts now. It's all coming to you fast, so it's not processing. You're just freaking out. For example, when I bought a house, I'm going to compare it to that. I had crazy cold feet. When they bring you that stack of papers and you're in debt all this amount of money, you go, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. Even though it's really the best thing for you, you just have to pop that seal.
Yeah.
And get through it.
It's probably like anything that's the biggest decision of your life at that time.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time figuring out if this was the house I wanted to buy. If this was, let me look at the fixtures. Let me see what the resale value is. I did all this. Yeah. I'm comparing that to getting married.
It's kind of the same thing.
Because you spend a lot of time going, is this the girl?
Yep.
Are we compatible in many ways? So I would say the cold feet's natural, but unless you find out that she's cheating or has a big lie, like a secret kid or something.
Do it.
You have to. Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
All three of us from three different circumstances say, go
do
for it.
Do it.
Yeah, I do.
Go for it, Jared. Oh, wait. I should say his name, huh?
Oh, no. No.
Go,
yeah, that could be anyone.
Go for it, random guy.
Yeah.
All right, Amy's in the studio. It's weird to have you back here.
I know.
It's been a month that you've been in here.
Weird.
Yeah. Amy's kids were just in here. We were playing on the microphones. And I don't know. What'd you think? It's the first time they'd seen a radio studio?
Yes. 100%. They don't know what to think. They still have zero concept of what I do or what you do or what we do. So and they're a little bit overwhelmed, but they'll, you know, it's going to take some time, but they'll figure it out.
So if you're new to the show, Amy has two kids. She adopted them from Haiti, spent 5 years in the adoption process, and she hasn't been with us, you know, for a week or so, but she's been with the kids. How long have the kids been in town? Been home?
Over 2 weeks.
Over 2 weeks.
Like two and a half.
So that's why she's not here, but that's why we're talking now, because we found a little time.
Mm-hmm. They're pretty demanding.
Yeah, so they don't know what you do.
They have zero. No, no.
What do they even have a concept of a job?
We were driving. Yes, because they see people work at the orphanage. We explained it that way. And we were driving here, but my son just kept saying, Mom, work, work. Work? There? There? I mean, he's just repeating things. And then my daughter, she probably understands something, but she's really shy too and just taking it all in. And she's very smart. So she will observe a lot during the day. And then we end up talking a lot about it at night.
So you have a 10-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So what have you learned over the past couple of weeks?
I feel like we would be here. I feel like I've learned a lot. We could be here a while. I feel one thing I can say with 100% certainty is that you can think you know what you're getting into, because I certainly did. Of course, I was like, I got this figured out. But really, you have no idea. And I feel like there are days we are just faking it till we make it. My husband and I look at each other like, I feel like a fraud sometimes. Because I don't know what I'm doing.
As a parent, as an adoptive parent, as what?
All of the above.
Yeah?
All of the above, because we just don't know. And then, of course, you know, Instagram is such a highlight of certain things. And I haven't posted a ton, but I posted some things, and I'll go back and look at it. And it's just so not representative of what the majority of the day was like. And not to be negative or to throw anybody off. And, of course, I don't want to highlight the negative, but just to be honest, sometimes I go back and look at Instagram and I'm like, I feel like a fraud.
Oh, it looks like you're having the most fun time in the whole world.
And of course, in that moment, we were, and we are, but I also want to be transparent with people that these are sweet children with hard lives, and we're unpacking some of that, and it's going to be a journey, and I just hope to do the best by them. That's my number one goal, is to try to just do what is best for them.
So for those that are listening now, we actually recorded this yesterday. So it's Sunday, when we're recording this. We're playing this now. And so we had to find time on your weekend for you to come up here.
Yeah. And we just got done with church, and then we came here, and my husband went to take him to eat so I could work.
And so you have about 90 minutes. Do you feel like your days are pretty packed with just stuff all the time since you have two kids?
Yeah. We don't, not packed like we're going a million different places. I mean, some stuff is just we have to get done so that they can be normal children in America. Doctor's appointments, school appointments, trying to navigate that, English learning stuff. So we have been out and about, but a lot of stuff is just packed at home. And we try, you just can't, I think some days I try to pack too much in and then it overstimulates and it's too much.
For them?
Yeah. And I realize later, ooh, that was just too much. We need to dial it back. And sometimes it just needs to be, we just need to be a family and bond and chill. They just need that. So we reel it in. And again, I'm just learning as I go. And thankfully, there's some people that have gone before me and they give me advice and they've written blogs and podcasts and there's books and resources. And I feel like I draw to people and those things, their words and their experiences to try to. And again, everybody's situation is different, so it's not going to be the exact same, but I try to learn from that so we don't completely mess up.
Do you feel like your life is completely different than it was 3 months ago?
100%. It is so different. I can't. I've gone to yoga like once.
Are you still eating all your vegetables, or have you started eating what the kids eat a little bit?
No, I think when they first got here, I was, and then I felt. We're honestly trying to feed them really good, and they eat great. Like breakfast this morning was hard-boiled eggs, an orange, and an avocado. They love it. I'm like, this is great.
They only know what you're teaching them.
Right up my alley. They love that stuff though. Yeah. But then they also love pizza and they want it for every meal.
Yeah, when they were leaving for lunch today, they were pizza. We want pizza. Yeah,
but no, they're not having that. We gotta get other nutrients in their system. We're not trying to be horrible, boring, awful parents, but it's all about growing them right now. Especially they got weighed at the doctor the other day and I was like, okay. Time to eat.
Oh, they didn't put on a bunch of weight in the first
couple
weeks?
They haven't yet. No. Yeah.
Maybe they're kids. They burn.
They burn. They're both just tiny humans with fast metabolisms. And because they, trust me, they're eating and they're eating good quality foods, but we're not packing it on.
Well, Amy will not be back this week. We don't have an answer to when Amy will be back, but she had to come and cut some commercials over the weekend.
Yeah, I still have some responsibilities.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, shoot.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Bobby Bones.
I will admit, I watched none of the Golden Globes last night. Not even one split second. I feel like it's so pretentious, but I do like to see what wins the Golden Globes later on. Hillary, our phone screener, is in with the list. Okay, give me something that won last night.
Best Motion Picture Drama, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. I think that's how you pronounce that.
Okay, let's slow down for a second. What's the category?
Best Motion Picture Drama.
Okay, and what is it called?
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I think that's how you pronounce that.
I never heard of that.
I haven't either.
I think Lunchbox saw it, though.
It's amazing.
Really? It is. Why did you go see that?
Just one of the ones I saw a preview for, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go see it.
So what's it about?
It's about a woman and her daughter is killed, and there's no one solves it like 9 months later, so she buys three billboards outside of town to call out the local police department.
Wow.
And it is dark, and it is great acting, and it keeps you on the edge of your seat the whole time.
Hmm. Well, I had never heard of it.
Yeah, me either.
What else do you have over there?
Best motion picture for a musical or comedy, Lady Bird.
I don't even know what that is. Did you see that on Lunchbox?
No, but that's one of the highest rated movies ever when it came out. Like it was higher than Toy Story.
Has anyone seen Lady Bird? No.
I haven't.
No one has?
No.
I thought it was about Lady Bird Johnson.
Yeah, apparently me too. It's obviously. Not.
Okay. What else do you have over there? Just give me the category.
Best television series drama.
So one of these dark shows. Okay, who won?
The Handmaid's Tale.
That's a really good show.
You watch that one.
I wouldn't recommend it to anybody because it's crazy. And then they'll think different of you if they don't like it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I loved The Handmaid's Tale. And Amy's the one who put me on that show. Okay. I'm in with that one. What else?
Best television series for a musical or comedy.
What's that?
The Marvelous Miss Maisel.
I never heard of that.
Mm-mm.
Anybody know what that is?
I don't think I'm pronouncing any of these right. I've never heard of them.
No clue.
It's got to be on a streaming service, right? Did This Is Us win anything last night?
No, one of the actors did, though. Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah, your boy.
Oh!
Sterling.
Oh, Sterling won?
Yeah.
That's my dude. We follow each other on Twitter.
That's your dude.
How about that? What else? Give me one more.
Nicole Kidman. She won Best Performance by an Actress in a Limited Series.
Oh, for
Big Little Lies.
Yeah, that was a good series.
Really good.
Everybody see that?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
I did.
Did anybody not see that? That was a really good one. So, okay, good. Well, thank you, Hillary.
And The Marvelous Miss Maisel is on Amazon Video.
Like Amazon Prime?
Yep.
Yeah. I have some audio here. Here is Kelly Clarkson and Keith Urban last night singing together as they're presenting.
And the Golden Globe goes to...
Pretty funny.
We've now officially sung on the Golden Globe, so...
There you go. Here is Sterling K. Brown from This Is Us accepting the award.
Throughout the majority of my career, I have benefited from colorblind casting, which means, you know, like, hey, let's throw a brother in this role, right? It's always really cool. But Dan Fogelman, you wrote a role for a black man, like that could only be played by a black man. And so what I appreciate so much about this thing is that I'm being seen for who I am and being appreciated for who I am. And it makes it that much more difficult to dismiss me or dismiss anybody who looks like me. So thank you, Dan.
I like that guy. I liked him in The People versus O.J. Simpson, too.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, nice guy.
He's got a way of like making you feel really bad for what is happening in his life.
You mean on camera?
Oh, yeah, his roles.
Yeah, he's good. He's a and warm. Like, you root for him in all of his roles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a Never Gonna Get It here. All right, on average, almost 20% of people in attendance at a wedding will have this in common. Okay, so about a fifth of the people have this in common at a wedding. This is a really hard one. It's even a hard one to set up. I don't give you the answer. The bride or groom didn't invite them to the wedding. You weren't going to get that. The question was kind of terrible.
That was the answer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The bride or groom didn't want to invite them.
Oh, you're right. I never even thought of that.
One-fifth of the people, somebody didn't want to invite them.
That's terrible.
When you got married, Eddie, did you guys have people on each side that you were like, ooh, I don't want to invite them?
We did a really small wedding, so we just invited one friend each.
Oh, wow.
That's it. My wife got her friend, and I got my best friend, and that was it.
It was a destination wedding.
Yeah, we went to Hawaii. And so, I mean, you didn't want to pressure people to fly all the way to Hawaii or pay for them or anything, so.
Those destination weddings, people say, hey, we're going to get married and blah, 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 blah. You're like, I have to pay for a flight and a hotel?
It's kind of rude.
It is a little rude.
It is a little bit if people want to go celebrate with you.
A destination wedding should be had if you can pay for the people you're inviting.
Correct. Or what we did, came back and threw a big party.
Oh, yeah. Did you pay for your best friend?
Yeah, to go?
Yeah.
Yes, that's it. It was just pay for him, and then my wife paid for her best friend. That was it.
How long have you been married?
Oh, 12 years. Mm. 12 great years.
Lunchbox, did your wife invite anybody to your wedding that you didn't like?
No. I got more of the people. I had more people invited. She had a few people, and then I had the majority of the folks.
It was a Lunchbox party?
Well, I'm just the more popular one.
Of you and your wife?
Yeah, I have more friends.
Did you invite any girls of your past?
Yeah, for sure.
And your wife was okay with that?
I have no idea if my wife knew. I mean, there's girls there that, we did our thing back in the day, but we stayed friends. And
afterwards.
Yeah, and then later on, I went to one of the girls' weddings that I used to, do our thing, and my wife didn't know.
You're crazy.
Why am I crazy? You can be friends with the girls that you,
did your thing with.
Yeah, do my thing, and that's what I did, and we still are friends this day, and...
Well, then why don't you tell your wife if it's no big deal?
NBD, dude, tell your wife. Well,
she never asked me, hey, did you ever with that girl?
Like, she has to ask that about every girl in your circle.
Like, if she asked, I'd tell her, that one, for years. Multiple cities.
Okay.
Multiple states.
You're crazy, man.
It happens.
I don't believe him.
I don't know. There was a lot of people at this wedding.
There were a lot.
And you don't think one of those girls in that room.
You did your thing with.
Yeah, got to taste LB. It happened. It happens.
And you didn't say anything to your wife?
Nah. Not that big a deal.
Except you didn't say anything, so it was a big deal.
Not a big deal because she's the one I chose for all time.
Oh, so she wins the contest.
Yeah, she won. She can look at them and be like, look what I got. You had him, but I got him now.
Okay.
Good logic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to get her in here at some point.
I want to talk about all that stuff.
Yeah, I have a whole running tab of things I want to talk about.
Yes.
She's going on other radio shows talking about her job.
Yeah.
She works at Topgolf. So I'll just book a segment to talk about Topgolf.
Easy.
And then just... pivot away from that.
Now that we've talked about Topgolf, let's talk about this.
Now that we asked you one question about Topgolf.
And this is probably going to be no big deal, but
Okay, we'll come back. I'll do the 30-second skinny. Also, I gave people on Twitter a poll, and I had like 20,000 votes, and it was the most ridiculous poll ever.
I loved your poll.
I want to tell the listeners what the poll was and see what you guys think, too, in the room. So we'll come back in a second with that.
Bobby Bones.
Here we go.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood.
Amy's 30-second skinny.
Gary LaVox of Rascal Flatts and his brother Kevin were going down to Louisiana for a hunting trip. The bus caught on fire they were in. They both escaped, but Gary had a bunch of bullets in there. And he's like, thank God they didn't catch on fire because the whole thing would have exploded.
Yeah.
Or they just start going.
Yeah, I don't think they actually shoot out anything.
No, no, but they do. Wow. Justin Timberlake posted a handwritten track list for his upcoming album, Man of the Woods, on Instagram. Chris Stapleton's on a song called Say Something. The album also has Alicia Keys. There are a lot of weird titles. One's called Flannel. One's called like Pond. On the, it's like
a lot of mystery in this album.
No, a lot of like fake Mountain Man. Justin Timberlake, you ain't fooling anybody. Come You're not on. A Mountain Man. Stop it. I do like Justin Timberlake a lot, but when I read the track listing, I thought, okay, you're shoving this a little too hard. I'm gonna tell you, I don't even like his new song yet.
Yeah, I'm not. It hasn't grown on me yet either. I played it again yesterday just to be like, let me just jam to it.
I love Justin Timberlake. I'm not even trying to be a hater. I'm just telling you what my heart says right now.
I feel you.
The top three songs right now include number three, Eric Church, Round Here Buzz.
You catch me around here, buzz.
Maren Morris at number two, I Could Use a Love Song.
I could use a love song.
And number one, Brett Young, Like I Love You.
Don't tell me we could still be friends.
There you go. There's your skinny. No Amy, but it's Bobby.
The Bobby Bone Show.
Hey, is Maren here yet or no?
She is.
Okay, 3 minutes, we'll bring Maren Morris in studio. And I always like it when artists have to get up early and come in. She didn't have to get up early, but this is just not their environment.
No.
They sleep till 10, 11.
Yeah, like
us. I'm going to ask her that. Oh, if I stop doing this show, I'm sleeping till noon every day.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my normal habitat. Yes. Man.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Maren Morris.
Bring her on in. Maren is here. Come on in here. We're on the air right now. There she is. Hey. Come on in.
Which one am I on?
You're on right there. Okay. Grab those headphones.
Hey. Happy New Year.
Can you still say that January 8th?
I'm still waking up. So
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy Halloween.
We were talking about that. This is not your normal habitat, the morning hours.
Is it anyone's? I mean, I guess it's you guys, but...
I wouldn't make it if I couldn't.
Man, it's I know brutal. You guys. What time do you go to bed?
It fluctuates. I wake up at 3, though, every morning.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Well...
What time do you go to bed, normally?
I'm kind of a grandma now. I probably like 10 or 11. Although I've been like having insomnia the last 2 weeks and I just like stay up and watch Planet Earth and Ryan's like passed out.
On Netflix?
So, yeah.
Planet Earth 2's out.
Yeah. I know. I just blew through it.
Do you love the animals?
I do. I love that we're talking about this now. I love anything about bugs and I don't know why. But insects, like I'll watch a documentary on those all day.
I like tigers because they're humongous.
Yeah.
Tigers and apes, not even monkeys, but like gorillas.
Yeah.
I love the animals that are so much bigger than us. Because
yeah.
They look so majestic when they move around.
Totally. Lions.
I've been watching The Crown, catching up on that. Are you done with The Crown?
Yeah. So clearly I have no life. Like I just watch Netflix. I finished The Crown season 2, I think 3 days after it came out.
Oh, so you binged it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like me? Because I feel like I'm an expert in the monarch now. And I know nothing except from that show. But I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this. I can feel this question.
I kind of feel like that, too. After all the history lessons I've sat through in school, watching 2 seasons of The Crown, I'm basically the most well-versed on the royals of all time.
I learned so much about John F. Kennedy just from watching that show.
Sad.
And then Wikipedia and things afterward.
Yeah, totally. I know. I love that you like corroborate the source with Wikipedia to make sure it's all,
for 4 episodes,
checks out.
And then I just would go down rabbit holes and start exploring other things.
It's a great show. I actually like after watching the Golden Globes last night, I was surprised that it didn't win anything because it's just like such a massive production.
It's the most expensive Netflix show they've ever done.
It looks like it.
And when you know that and then you look at it again, you start to notice things like, wow, look at the detail they're putting into The Crown on Netflix.
Well, and I guess they shoot it at an actual castle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's like where I think a lot of their budget is eaten up, is just like location fees. That's what I read on Wikipedia.
Renting the castle?
Yeah.
When Wikipedia put out their biggest looked at sites, the people who looked it up the most, Queen Elizabeth was the second most searched person because people were fact checking the crown.
Yeah.
And looking her up.
I was one of those, and so were you. So I totally believe that. I mean, it's just a fascinating story. And yeah, I think it's such a beautiful show, and I love the girl that plays the queen, Claire Foy. But they are changing out the cast every 2 years, which kind of sucks.
Well, they're getting older.
Yeah.
Like the people, they go later in the story.
Yeah.
How's everything else going?
It's good. Yeah? I'm glad that we had a quick Netflix roundup. Yeah, it's good. I've kind of been taking it easy, like after the holidays, and I'm writing this week out in L.A. for the next record. And
why go to L.A.?
I was actually just talking about this with Gator. I think there's something in my head, because I started out as a writer here in Nashville. When I go to L.A. to write with even like Busby, who has a place here, has a place in L.A., I'm in a different headspace. Like the Nashville writing rules don't really apply to me as much in my head. It's completely internal. It has nothing to do with Nashville. It's me, like, being here. But I wrote my church out in L.A., and I think it happened so quickly because there was just no pressure. There's sort of like a curriculum when you're writing in Nashville, and I love that curriculum, but sometimes you kind of need to like change proximity and change your outlook.
I guess I would equate it to working from home and going somewhere else to work, like in an office. Your headspace is different whenever you're working somewhere else around new people,
Absolutely.
Around people you don't see all the time.
Yeah.
When you're at home, you're just comfortable. Mm-hmm. And you kind of don't push on those walls as much.
I agree. That's like right on the nose.
I'm glad you agree. I fancy myself a creative too.
You are. I know you are. Stop. By the way, I've been like kind of binging your podcasts recently.
Yeah?
I had to catch up. I like listened to the John Mayer one. What a cool interview. And he seemed really engaged. Like he really loved talking to you guys.
He doesn't do a lot of radio, and he was only coming in to do 10 minutes. And he stayed for an hour because there was a point in that interview where it just went, let's just two guys who enjoy creative things, music, comedy, earth.
Yeah.
And it turned into that. So yeah. I really enjoyed that. I appreciate the compliment, though. This is not about me. I don't want to talk about me.
Sorry. I always do that. I like deflect it off of attention on me.
How's Ryan? How's the fiance?
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
He's good. Yeah, he's good. I'm going to miss him
ripped,
this week.
By the way, let me just pause you for a second. Every time you post a picture of him shirtless, I'm like, holy cow, that dude is jacked.
Oh my gosh.
And I know Ryan. I never seen him with his shirt off.
Yeah.
It's a beast.
It's a sight to behold. I feel very, very blessed. Honestly, like he kind of keeps me on my toes because he's gotten in such great shape over the last 2 years, and I just hate exercising. I like put those out into the universe, those pictures of him, so it keeps me accountable.
That's funny. Oh, you have the number two song this week, which we're gonna play here. It's your song, I Could Use a Love Song, and hopefully this week it'll be number one.
Oh my gosh.
It's a goal, right? You were the most played artist, female artist at country radio last year, but you didn't have a number one.
Which is like very confusing, but I will take it because it's like, I think it's amazing. But when they told me that, I was like, how? And I think maybe just because, you know, this is like a 42-week single, and I was on Craving You with Thomas Rhett. And but that was such a cool thing to hear that I was the most played female on radio last year.
And this will be your first official number one. We're all rooting for
you. Well, I'm like still waiting to breathe out, I think. You know,
I've
never gotten this close.
Yeah.
And it's just been such a journey. I mean, I remember the first time I came into here, I mean, for my church, that was 2 years ago. And so now, you know, it's very surreal to be this close and to be talking about it and, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop. But I'm so excited, and it's crazy. Like, weirdly, so many people think that my church went number one, because it was like the first song out of the gate for me, and you know, it was such a like a moment. But I'm really proud that it's this song that's gotten like this high up, because you know, it's like a ballad, and people were kind of iffy on me releasing a ballad. It's just cool that it's gotten here.
You call it the little song that could?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look how long it's taken. It's a slow and steady race, and it is kind of my little song that could.
If I don't ask you about new music, give me a nugget that you haven't said to anybody. You don't have to tell me exact details, but tell me something. When's MM2? Like, give me a detail, one little detail. Nah, I don't care about a date. I don't. Just give me something.
I really can't give you anything on the album because I haven't written it yet, but I have like a good chunk of songs, but I will say it's not album related, but there is something coming out in a few weeks.
A few weeks, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Here is I Could Use a Love Song from Maren Morris. I appreciate you coming by early
this
morning.
Yeah, thanks
you
for
you know I'm a huge fan.
Love.
And thanks for playing our Raging Idiot St. Jude show, which we're playing in a couple weeks. I appreciate you.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's going to be a fun night.
It's really kind of you. You don't get a bunch of nights off, so I appreciate you coming to play with us.
Of course, dude. Bobby
Bones Show. Lunchbox said they threw out their Christmas tree, and his wife started crying.
What?
She loved it?
I mean, we had never done a Christmas tree before as a married couple, so we got one this year, and this weekend it was time for it to go. Christmas is over, it's time to move on, so I packed it up and I was taking it to throw it away, and she starts crying because she is so attached to the Christmas tree because she said, it's the first time we've embraced the holidays, and it's so amazing, and it's just sad to see it go.
What would she have done? Would she have kept it?
I don't know what she wanted to do. Like, leave it there year-round? Like, she wanted us to keep watering it, keep it alive.
Why not plant it in the backyard?
Oh, that'd be nice.
If it means that much to her. Is it a real tree?
Yeah, it was a real tree, but it was dead.
I saw at Lifetime Fitness, they've taken all the cable news channels off the TVs.
Oh.
They don't allow them because people are fighting over them. People are fighting with other gym goers.
Come on.
So they've taken off CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, and any other 24-hour cable news network. They said none of our locations.
They're just going to leave the good, happy stuff on.
I started watching Rick and Morty because of it, the cartoon.
Yeah.
I was watching cable news. I flipped the three channels. I couldn't take it. It's just too much. They just yell at each other.
Do you like Rick and Morty?
I do. It's funny. It's oddly adult.
I've never really watched it.
Yeah, so I posted that on Twitter. I just can't. I like the news.
It's a lot.
But people just yell at each other on all the channels.
Yeah.
You just put two heads up there that have differing opinions and go.
Yeah.
And just yell.
When my dad comes to town, that's all he watches. And I'm like, I got to step out of the room.
This is a politics-free zone, this morning show.
I love it.
It's somewhere you can go and not have to worry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's a nice, safe zone. I love being here.
I don't even talk about things on Twitter because it doesn't matter.
Mm-mm.
It's not worth getting in. I saw where Tyler Hubbard of Florida Georgia Line was bashing Donald Trump on Instagram. And it's just not worth it. However you feel, it doesn't matter. You're not going to change this conversation.
Yeah.
And so people were going after him because he was bashing Donald Trump, and he pulled it down wisely. Don't.
Yeah. You think like when someone does that, like that's a big step in their career. Like you're either jeopardizing a bunch or like what is that when someone.
I think if you really are passionate about it, you should say it.
Okay.
But if you're not so passionate about it where you're going to pull it down once you get a little heat, you shouldn't put it
up. Don't say it at all.
That should be the kind of the litmus test. If I put this up and get a bunch of pushback, am I going to take it down? If the answer is yes, don't put it up.
Mm.
If the answer is no, then that means you're steadfast in your belief and you're going to keep it up. That's how I feel about
it. I agree with that 100%.
I'll put things up that I know people are going to disagree with, and I'm okay with that. I just get drilled, but I know a drilling's coming.
Yeah, you even leave up like a typos. Yeah, I respect that about you, man.
I don't really leave them up. I just don't notice them.
He's like, that really doesn't make sense, but you leave it up, and I like that about you.
Brad Pitt bid $120,000 to watch Game of Thrones with Khaleesi.
Oh, wow. She's like a character on the show?
Maybe the main character.
She's the white-haired one?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
So he bid at a charity auction $120,000. And so you get to watch the show with her.
Brad Pitt can't make a phone call and be like, hey, my people, can you get a hold of Khaleesi's people and let's just watch the show together?
Probably, but it was for a charity.
Okay, that makes sense.
At Sean Penn's charity gala.
There you go.
And that show's not coming back till 2019, but I was thinking, if you could have one show and one character to watch the show with, okay, I'm asking you guys, one show, and you get to watch the show with anyone, because you want inside information about the show, the game.
Yeah.
What show would you watch, Lunchbox?
That's easy. Johnny Bananas, and I would do the challenge.
You would pick Johnny Bananas. You could probably do that for $50.
Yeah, I would select Johnny Bananas, and right now Vendettas is on. It's the new season of the challenge, and I would watch it with Johnny Bananas for sure. 100%, that's the easiest question you've ever asked me.
Huh. Eddie.
Wow. Oh, I would get Queen Elizabeth and watch The Crown with her. For sure.
Wait, no, she's not actually in the show.
Yeah, I know, but she would be like, that's not true. I didn't do that.
I heard she watched the first season and loved it.
Really? So maybe it is true. How much fun would that be, though? And then you'd have anything you want because they got everything. Probably wear a crown while I'm watching it.
Wear her crown. Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you pay a lot.
Exactly.
I mean, that's not exactly in the rules, but since we're making the game up anyway, it doesn't matter.
Thank you.
If I were going to watch something with
anything,
I may.
Gosh, and you watch a lot of TV.
I've watched a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
I may get Chandler from Friends, Matthew Perry.
Wow.
And watch Friends and ask lots of questions about all the other episodes.
Can you imagine?
That would be fun.
Do you think he still likes it? Like, would he?
No,
would he,
okay,
so just be like, that was a terrible
That's
day.
That's stupid.
I was on drugs that day.
Yeah. And you right? can tell when he was on and off, because when he's off, he blows up.
He got
he gets bigger.
Yes.
When he's on, he's really skinny Chandler.
Gosh, I remember those episodes.
Yeah, but Brad Pitt paid $120,000. Also in attendance was Amazon's Jeff Bezos. That dude is now over $100 billion.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He took something that no one was doing and he just dominated.
That's how you make billions of dollars.
Gah.
He's worth $109 billion.
Unbelievable.
I can't even fathom what that is. Like, that's not even a real thing to me. That's like going, hey, I was walking around in gumdrop land.
Yes.
I don't know what that is either.
You start thinking about like, ooh, I can definitely make this kind of money, you won't even ever get close to that. The Bobby Bones
Show. Okay, Amy in the studio, which she hasn't been here for a bit because she has two kids now. If you've been listening for the show for a long amount of time, you probably know this. If you're new, Amy spent 5 years in the process of adopting two children from Haiti, and now she has a 10-year-old daughter and a 6-year-old son.
So, seven.
You keep correcting me.
Yeah, because it's seven.
No, I said seven. Okay, so you have a 10 and a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, it's hard. He looks about 5.
But she says she's 11. Oh, so it's...
It's you have to ask me, not them.
Okay, you have a 10-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son.
Yeah.
Are you getting to do anything for you now, or is your life completely the kids?
No, my husband and I work it out to where we have to have that time. Like, I think I mentioned I've gone to yoga once. I went. He watched the kids by himself.
Did you think about the kids the entire time?
Yes. I can't wait to get back to them, honestly. When we do take breaks or I'll go run to the store real quick or we'll do... You do have that feeling. And I used to hear parents say that. Like, oh, I can't wait to get home to my kids. And I was like, yeah, right. But it's true. I'm wondering what they're doing, what they're thinking. Because with them, every hour is different. And I'm wondering what I missed that hour.
And they're seeing things for the very first time ever.
Yes. And I want to be a part of that. There's certain things where... One of our friends the other day wanted to take him to a movie, and my first thought was like, of course, yeah, take him to the movie. And then about a day later, it still hadn't happened yet, and I decided to not let that happen. Like, they have never been to a movie theater before. They don't even know what that is. First of all, I think it'd be a lot for them, so we're going to hold off for a second. But second of all, when we do take them, I think it should be me and my husband. We need to share those. That's a big moment for them, something like a movie. So I want to be a part of that.
10-year-old girl, 7-year-old boy. So what has been the most eye-opening things to them?
Oh my goodness, even just coming into work today, you know how we have the electric gate into the garage that opens? We pulled up and my husband stuck out my key card to open the garage and my son was fascinated. He's never pulled in. I mean, the orphanage has a gate, so there's like a guy that comes out into a gate, but to like put this thing up to a... He watched the whole thing happen. I watched his eyeballs get really big and the gate open. And he was like, whoa. So sometimes it's things like that that we just do all the time that you notice, like sliding doors that open and close like that. They want to do that. The grocery store. That's pretty cool. Oh, well, the grocery store in general.
So like, what about the grocery store is crazy to them?
That there's just all this food everywhere and they feel like they can have it all.
Oh, yeah. They want it all. Like they think it's since it's there, it's theirs.
Yeah. Mom, this. Mom, this. Mom, this. No, 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 no.
Is it hard to say no, and has it become easier to say no?
No, I realized you have to say no in the beginning, or you're setting a precedent that's not going to be good. So there's some tough moments where I don't want to be strict, but I have to be strict because it'll be better for us in the long run. And I just have to tell them, no, that's not what we're here for. We're on a mission, you know, like Target, we're on a mission. We got to get whatever we got to get and got to go. And that's the thing, too. Before kids, I used to be the one buying unnecessary things at Target. But now I'm like, okay, guys, we got to get in here. We got to get out of here. Don't have time for this. And I do, you know, gaze at things like, oh, I wish I could go over and look at that and buy it. But nope, got to get the kids, got to go. you know, your life is totally about them, which I am okay with. But that being said, it is about me and my husband, too, and we're trying to be intentional about making sure, you know, if he wants to go work out or he wants to go... I think he brought up he would love to go to the driving range, so I got to make that happen. We'll figure it out.
And he's got them... By the way, we recorded this yesterday on Sunday. This mm-hmm. is airing Monday morning. We yeah. record. Amy came up to record some commercials, and so I wanted to come up and grab her for a bit and talk about this stuff. But we recorded this yesterday, and right now he's gone with the kids, and yeah. they're at lunch.
And I'm doing this. So this will probably equate to him hitting that driving range later.
This is your driving range.
I guess so.
Yeah. Give me one thing. What have you learned? One major headline.
Golly.
About yourself.
Bobby, gosh, it's so... Oh, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you think you're tired, but you get kids, and you're like, okay, I know what tired is. Especially nights are the most difficult for us right now, so we don't get as much... I feel like I made sleep a priority in my life because I do feel like sleep is so important. Like eating right, working out, sleep is important. And right now, we're just like not getting it. Or it's, you know, so I've learned that you can function while being extremely tired and you can get it done. And somehow you just dig deep within you because it's so, I feel like this job is rewarding in certain ways, especially with all the cool things we get to do and our listeners are awesome. But there's something about pouring all of your energy into two young lives that you're responsible for. So there's something that I've learned. The energy I get back from that and the reward, it's like no other. You know, we can do something cool here or have, you know, a great fundraiser for this, which all is like, I think the most rewarding thing we do is the philanthropic type stuff. But with these kids and watching them grow from day to day, like something maybe you taught them the day before, something you've been working on, and you see the fruits of that labor, it's far surpasses anything we've ever done here.
And this is only a few weeks in.
I know. And, you know, you feed off of that. So therefore, if you're tired, you get energy from the awesome payoff. If that, it's like full circle.
You make me feel so unimportant.
Am I even making sense?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I'm
tired.
You're
so tired. Yeah. All right, there's Amy. And we recorded this yesterday. Thought we'd air it today. All right, you good?
Yeah, are you?
Yeah. I mean, I feel, like I said, way less important after you say none of this matters.
No, that's not.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what I meant.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Don't take it that way.
The story says that women want a rich man. Is that shocking to anyone?
Nope.
Yeah, they love men with money.
No crap.
Yeah. Women really do want rich men, as science finds. That the more money you make, the more of your out of 10 rating goes up. So if you're a 6 out of 10 and you got some money, you go to 7. If you got a lot of money, you go to 8.
Hmm. Interesting.
For females, it's not about money. Oh, excuse me. For males, it's not about money. It's about looks.
Oh, right. Yes. That would be our scale. Yes. That's what we base our scale on.
This is what science is saying.
Hmm.
And I think generally, I would agree with this. There are obviously outliers in the situation, but yeah. Mostly, yes.
I think the point system is wrong. Like, it doesn't go up 1 point. Like, more. I think it goes up like 5 points. Like, I think if a 3 has a lot of money, you can go to 10.
I don't know about 10. But I think it does help. But I'll tell you, I don't think I fit in this. Listen, the more money I made, the less girls I got.
Huh. Why?
When I was broke, I had more girls than I do now.
Really?
I don't have any girls now, by the way.
Yeah, but that's on you.
I'm not...
You close yourself off to that a little bit.
I'm not saying what I do or don't do.
Okay.
All I'm doing is saying in the situation here, I don't fit this.
Okay, all right.
So there's that. For a female to achieve the same 2-point effect in her salary, it would need to increase by 10th, whatever.
It's a lot of numbers.
It's literally a scientific study about how women want men with money. 3% of women say eating McDonald's French fries after they, let's say, hang out with their husband.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Will help them get pregnant. And I wonder, Lunchbox, are you guys doing anything to get pregnant?
I mean, yeah.
Not that, aside from goodness. That.
No, I didn't know there was anything else you could do.
Well,
now that you say that, I'm going to have some McDonald's fries in the fridge and heat them up whenever we're done.
A woman bicycles her legs in the air for 3 minutes afterward. A lot
really?
Of women do that because they believe...
It'll go for... Yeah.
And they also believe that, like, the movement inside...
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Using reverse psychology, saying, I don't want a baby, apparently makes it happen to a lot of women. Eating dark chocolate every day. Eating pineapples. And then... wearing green and using green sheets because green is connected to fertility.
Well, I mean, I have a theory that...
Go ahead.
Backseat of a car. I'm just telling you, that's
after
when
a night of drinking.
That's that's when it happens usually.
But you guys haven't done that.
No.
Try it, dude. See if it works.
Might have to because it hadn't been working.
How long have you guys been trying to have a baby?
8-9 months.
Is it weird to you that you haven't?
Yeah,
didn't
it's
you
weird
think that you would just do it and a baby would happen?
Yeah.
Obviously, because you have friends that back in the day, like high school, that seem real easily, got a girl pregnant. It's like, wow.
Like they accidentally did, but now that you're trying, you can't.
Yeah, my roommate in college. I mean, first time.
Every time that the month comes and you didn't have a baby, is that disappointing for you guys?
I think it's more disappointing for her. I just think, it's not meant to be yet. I don't get disappointed because I don't get my hopes up.
But at Christmas, whenever she gave you the gift that had a sonogram in it with boots, you got your hopes up.
I got real excited, thought I was the dad. My mom was crying, thought he shoots, he scores, but no.
You're still Ofer?
Yeah, false alarm. Sports still analogy. Trying to get on the board.
It is crazy to think that I feel like my whole life I've been trying not to have babies.
Yeah.
And that when you try, you just think it's going to happen, but it hasn't yet.
It doesn't.
Oh, good luck, my friend. Coming up in the next 10 minutes or so, we announce the first person in our class of 2018. New artists who we bring on the air, we do a Bobbycast with, we do stuff all year with them, we promote. And so Hillary, our phone screener, was getting text messages from a friend of an artist.
Friends back home that they're getting messages about a new artist, asking to nominate them. But there's no nomination system.
So they're texting you going, hey, tell Bobby to put this artist on.
Yeah.
Who's the artist?
I don't know if I should say.
Is he like a real artist?
No.
Oh, no.
Even, no, I don't even know if he's verified.
He's just a buddy.
Cousin Jim.
Yeah.
From where? Down in Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Like Jacksonville, where you're from?
Hmm.
You can say if you want.
Give him a plug. Give him a plug. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you. I don't know this person.
Okay, what's the name?
I just know the girlfriend.
Go ahead.
I don't want to.
You don't want to?
Oh, wow.
I don't want to be attached.
I think I know what you're saying.
What do you mean?
She may not approve of his music.
That's okay. It doesn't matter. I just wonder who everybody's beating her up over.
I've gotten some tweets of people. Have you?
Oh, a ton.
Yeah.
Labels, managers. No,
that
no,
doesn't
no.
influence you.
No
at
one
all.
Knows who it is.
I don't know.
One comes up. Say it.
Come on, Hillary.
I don't want to. I'll tell you. Can I tell you off air?
Sure. Here, I'll turn them. We're off the air. Mic's down. Go ahead. Tell me.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
We got tweeted by a guy from The Bachelor trying to get his friend's band on.
Really?
Yeah.
What band? Do you know what they're called?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Case Allen.
Oh.
It's a good band.
Yeah. I feel like you can watch a show just in clips now. I don't have to watch everything anymore. And so I didn't watch the Golden Globes, except I've seen it all now because I watched all the important parts. But here's Kelly Clarkson and Keith Urban presenting, and they sing together.
And the Golden Globe goes to...
That's pretty cool.
I mean, beautiful harmonies. Yeah. Come on.
So, the curse of the lottery. Have you seen this? They talk about people that win the lottery and then lose it all.
I've seen a TV show.
So, here's part one of the curse of the lottery. Tragic stories of big jackpot winners.
Once this person wins the lottery, they become a global target. There are literally people across the world who put these people on a list to harass and harangue and try to sell bad investments and also just flat out try to take their money.
And then here's the reporter talking more about it.
In 2002, Jack Whitaker hit the Powerball jackpot, winning nearly $315 million. Years later, his family life fell apart and he was arrested twice. Abraham Shakespeare of Florida was murdered after winning $30 million. And just this week, Powerball winner Marie Holmes made headlines after spending millions bailing her boyfriend out of jail yet another time.
70% of all lottery winners end up broke within 7 years.
Wow.
Man.
That's just so much money to blow like that.
If you're not equipped, though, you probably exactly blow it.
That's heartbreaking.
Lunchbox, did you play the lottery? Because there were two big winners.
Yeah, Mega Millions and Powerball. Played them both. $100 each.
$100
each?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
It was up to one. Combined, the two were $1 billion.
Did you win?
No. Have you ever won?
It only takes one time, though. Do you understand?
And it only takes one ticket.
Right. I understand that, but I tried for 50. And if I would have won, you guys would have been like, man, that's the smartest money you ever spent.
No.
But
no.
Some loser in Florida and some loser in New Hampshire won.
Yeah, New Hampshire, they won $570 million.
Oh.
And in Florida, they won $450
million. Man.
Oh.
We've done this before where Lunchbox figures out the amount of money he spent on the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
And it ends up being like $35,000.
Makes no sense.
Over his life. And the amount he's won is like $500.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Well, you have to play the game to try. And I would take my chance of being one of those people that loses it all, or I could be one of those 30% that makes great decisions and am not broke within 7 years.
Mm.
But I'd already imagined houses, vacations, what we were going to do with the money.
Oh, you already have it in your mind.
When you go drive around for an hour trying to buy the tickets at little rundown gas stations outside on the outskirts of town, yes, you think about it in your head. Like, I would go here for a week, I'd go here for a month, I'd go there.
So your technique is to go out of town, not buy like the corner store right by
your
house?
Right. You don't hear people winning in New York City. You hear them winning in Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh,
like
okay.
small towns.
So you drive like way out there?
Outskirts of town, yes, sir. And suburbs.
And he gets disappointed every time he doesn't win. Since he's been 18.
You're crazy.
Usually it's mom and pop shops where the cashier knows everybody in town, so you have to stop at those gas stations right off the highway.
Well, sorry you didn't win, bud. Condolences.
Bad weekend.
We have a class of 2018, and every year I pick 5-6 artists, and we spend the whole year kind of helping these new artists develop. And class of 2018...
Bobby Bones, class of 2018. Member, Jillian Jacklin.
We've got all our reasons why.
From playing in the band with her sisters to moving to Nashville and pursuing a solo career, Jillian Jacklin has an undeniable musical style.
Come on and hate me. Tell me you repay you ever met.
Your newest member of the class of 2018, Jillian Jacklin.
God bless this mess. This is as good as.
So the first member into our class, and these artists have no idea, Jillian Jacklin, she's not here. She doesn't know, but Jillian Jacklin, and I'm such a big fan. I took her out on the road for 15 shows last year or so on tour. She's so good, and I hope you guys check out her music, and we'll be sure to, we couldn't have them in today because we don't tell anybody.
And someone wake her up and tell her, though.
Yeah, so this song called Reasons from Jillian Jacklin.
I don't wanna tell my parents, wanna tell my sister. You don't wanna tell your friends. You don't wanna pack your stuff, fall back in love with another girl again. All alone picking up takeout, coming home to an empty house. Admitting that the time we spent was just a lesson. We've got all our reasons.
So our first member is Jillian Jacklin. Check her out.
We feel like roommates standing at the same sink. We don't even kiss goodnight. I don't want to be a quitter. Don't want to have to answer when everybody asks me why. Giving all your t-shirts back. Putting all my stuff in bags. We were supposed to be married by the time we're 30. Breaking up is scary. All these reasons. Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Elvis Presley would have turned 85 today. No, I guess 83. He could still be alive if he were alive.
Yeah, I saw like a good story on TV that says that he is.
He is alive.
Yes, and he faked his death to save his family because he was going down the wrong track.
I just think eventually you come out of that, though.
Yeah, at some point you gotta be like, just kidding.
At age 60, maybe you go, I'm tired of hiding.
Yeah, I want to play music again.
Or I just want to walk down the street and go get some hot chicken.
Yeah.
So Elvis Presley would have been 83 today. I had dated a girl once that hated Elvis.
Oh, man.
And I really held that against her.
Yes, you
like,
have
to. Like, in my heart.
Return to sender. Return to sender. I gave a letter to the postman. I said special deal.
So, how long did you stay with that girl? Not very long,
no,
right?
No, 4 years.
Oh, my goodness.
It was the longest relationship ever
I
had.
I couldn't take that.
And here's some facts about Elvis. He got a C in his 8th grade music class.
That's good.
Didn't get an A.
Yeah, good job, Elvis.
He had his first job as an usher in a movie theater in Memphis. He once took a jet later in life from Memphis to Denver just to eat a sandwich.
Oh, thank you. Thank
you very much. I'll have the banana peanut butter, please.
That's a sandwich.
I'll have 7 of them.
Yeah, because you got,
and
you
then,
got
11 to go.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. He sold his hair at an auction. They saved it from a barber.
Really?
Yeah, it fell on the ground. Someone scooped it up, and they sold it for $18,000.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, it's a lot of money for Elvis's hair.
They had to take it to a DNA expert and test it.
And it was his.
It was his.
Good.
And then finally, he was known for impersonating police. In the early 1970s, he would drive around with a blue light, a long flashlight, a billy club, and guns, and would pull people over. And instead of giving out tickets, he would hand over autographs.
Dude, have you ever seen Elvis and Nixon?
No.
It's all about the day Elvis met Nixon, President Nixon, and he only went to the White House just so you can ask Nixon for an FBI badge. That's it. The only reason he went to the White House was for a badge. He's like, come on, Mr. President, you got to give me that badge. And he's like, I just can't do that, Elvis. It's awesome.
The movie's good?
It's a whole movie on that.
Elvis?
No, the movie's not great, but the fact that he went to the White House just for a badge.
And it's called Elvis and Nixon?
Elvis and Nixon.
Huh.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
I love Elvis. I don't know if, because Elvis died before we were around.
Yeah,
really.
In the 70s.
Yeah, before we were born, I guess.
Yes.
He died in the 70s. I wonder, like Hillary, our phone scooter's 25. She had a birthday this weekend that we didn't know about.
Oh, I'm sorry, ooh. Hillary.
Well, it's okay.
But I wonder, Hillary, do you know or like Elvis?
I don't like know his all of his music, but I didn't know his birthday was today.
But if I play this.
Well, since my baby left me.
What's this song called? No, I'm not playing all of it. You don't
Heartbreak
know
that? Hotel.
That's right.
Wow.
Okay.
I've been so lonely, baby.
See, we love Elvis, but you don't love Elvis.
I don't love him, but I like him.
How about this one?
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and I go, cat, go, but don't you.
Come on, what's that song?
Come on, Hillary.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I know it, but I can't think of it.
Lunchbox, do you know it?
Go, cat, go.
No.
Oh, I'm trying to see what it says. Hold on.
Blue suede shoes.
My name all over the place. We'll do anything that you want to do. But I'm honey, lay off about you, but don't you.
Man.
Step on my blue suede shoes.
Even 83 today. So Hillary turned 25 over the weekend.
Wow.
None of us knew it was her birthday. This is your first year around with us. You have to tell us.
Well, how do you tell somebody, oh, my birthday's tomorrow? Like, I feel like that's awkward.
You probably invite us to your party.
Oh, that'd be...
You had a party.
That's a good start.
None of us got invited.
I mean...
Did you have a party?
Not really. I mean...
There was an Instagram with a cake.
Me and my roommate had cake.
So how's 25 treating you?
25's going good so far. For a couple of days, it's been going good.
Do you feel like you're getting older?
Not really. It's interesting for me because my year's at, like, towards the new year. And so it's like this whole year I'm 25. So it's just like a whole new year. I don't know how to explain it. In my mind, it makes sense.
It's the year
like
of
a whole
25.
New year. Yeah, it's the year 25 for me. So, like, new things happening. And
yeah, enjoy it.
What'd you do on your birthday?
We had cake. We went to brunch. And then we tried going bowling, but it was a 90-minute wait, which I've never heard of before. So we decided to go rollerblading.
Were you trying one of those fancy bowling alleys?
No, it was just like a regular bowling alley, and it was 90 minutes.
Eddie, didn't your family go bowling?
I went bowling, yeah, Saturday.
Oh, not your family?
Oh, no, we went. We all went. I just meant like, yeah, I went too. Dude, bowling's fun.
Lunchbox is oddly a good bowler. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but we tested him, and he didn't...
No. Right, he failed. When the pressure's on, he doesn't perform.
Yes.
But I've been bowling with him, and there's no pressure, and he throws strikes like crazy.
We've been through this, and I just don't believe it because we took him out of the bowling alley, and he stunk.
Under the pressure, Lunchbox is not good at anything. However,
anything.
However, when there's no pressure, he kind of crushes
okay.
it.
Okay.
I mean, I crush life all the time. I just had one bad day of bowling, and you hold it against me for the rest of my life. I mean, I bowl. I was in the bowling club in high school. I'm telling you, I'm a bowler.
Yeah?
Yes. I have my own ball.
With your name on it?
Yeah, my own shoes, everything.
Look at this guy. I put up a poll on Twitter. I said, which do you prefer? And I gave these four options.
Loved it.
In-N-Out Burger, Chick-fil-A, Whataburger, and Five Guys. Those were the four options I gave. There were close to 20,000 votes. What would you pick, Eddie?
I would have picked Whataburger, hands down.
Because you grew up in Texas.
Grew up in Texas. That's all I ate. When I go into Texas, that's all I eat.
Lunchbox, like, what would you pick?
Chick-fil-A.
I would have picked Chick-fil-A, too.
Delicious.
Because it's not expensive. They have a lot of things. And you can get healthy, really healthy options.
Yes.
Too. I've probably spent more time at Chick-fil-A in the past 7-8 years.
When you talk healthy options, like you're talking about the grilled chicken, like you can get chicken grilled, not fried, which is hard to find anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hillary, what would you pick? You're from Florida, so regionally this may be different for you.
Chick-fil-A for sure.
Do you guys have Chick-fil-A's in...
Oh, yeah. I couldn't move anywhere if they didn't have a Chick-fil-A.
Oh, that was part of your...
Yeah. A Chick-fil-A or Publix. You can't go anywhere without those
two. So who won?
Chick-fil-A dominated with 53% of the vote. Out of four people, they had 53% of the vote.
Dang.
I have a... Oh, I should announce this real quick. My stand-up comedy tour gets announced today. I guess it was announced. Colorado Springs, Vegas, Fresno, Charlottesville, Virginia, near Pittsburgh, Munhall, Albuquerque, Beaumont, New Orleans, Austin, Wichita Falls, Charleston, South Carolina, Florence, South Carolina, Tampa, and Fort Pierce.
Yeah.
It's the Red Hoodie Comedy Tour.
Now, hitting the road.
Yeah, so that starts in March, but I'm wearing a... it's called the Red Hoodie Comedy Tour.
Yeah, why? Why is it called the Red Hoodie?
I'm glad you asked.
Yeah, I'm so curious.
And it gets to my Chick-fil-A point coming up. Because I would always wear a tie on stage, and I wanted to just not wear a tie anymore. So I thought I'll do red hoodies, and we're going to sell red hoodies, and we're going to help St. Jude by selling the red hoodies and red t-shirts on the road.
That's a good idea.
So I get to be lazy, wear a red hoodie, and then go out and do stand-up and give back.
Dude, that's great. And you just can pack a red hoodie, and you're good to go.
Boom.
For the weekend. Dunzo.
That's it. But I have this thing about Chick-fil-A where, I have a whole, in my last segment, my last hour that I did, I have a whole 5-minute spot about Chick-fil-A. This is just one part of it, like 30 seconds.
I watch like Shark Tank, and I would like to create this business that like takes over the world, right? And that's like, I want to have this great idea. And I keep coming back to Chick-fil-A not being open on Sunday. So what I want to do, and you can tell me if this is a dumb idea, but like on Saturday night, right before they close, I get a Yeti. I say, I'll take all your chicken sandwiches, please. Put them in the Yeti. I go to bed. I wake up on Sunday and I just sit right behind the drive-thru.
People love Chick-fil-A.
Got them.
I mean, people are like, yeah.
Do it.
Great idea.
So funny. Dude, can you imagine the money you'd make if you did that?
That was my idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Just go buy all the sandwiches.
Lunch, we should steal that idea and do it.
I'll work. Can we get in trouble for that?
No, no chance.
What do you mean no chance? If you're on their property selling sandwiches, they'll probably kick you off.
But if you bought all the sandwiches and said, I'm going to be selling Chick-fil-A sandwiches on Sunday at this location.
Yeah, but my joke was I'm going to go sit behind the drive-thru.
I know.
You can probably get in trouble. Yeah. But really, I would drive up to that drive-thru sometimes and be like, hey, can I get up? And you don't hear anything.
And
you're like, oh, the lights aren't even on. And you're confused. Oh, it's Sunday.
Oh. Yeah. And every time you crave Chick-fil-A, it's always on Sunday.
It's always on a Sunday. Yeah. Well, anyway, my stand-up comedy tour is up. Tickets go on sale Friday at BobbyBonesComedy.com. I'm glad I had a joke to go with that.
Me too.
Yeah,
it's a
funny.
Good touch.
This cruise ship that was going through the Bahamas, it had 4,000 people on it. And they're out in the water, and that bomb cyclone comes through. Which, by the way, just split up the words, and you don't want any business with either one of them.
Uh-uh.
You don't want the bomb.
I don't want the cyclone.
You don't want to run into a cyclone. Imagine you run into the bomb cyclone.
Oh, no, it's double trouble.
4,000 people on this big old boat, and they were on the Norwegian Breakaway, and they held on for dear life because this humongous boat would just go, boosh!
I was reading that people would, like, ball up in little corners and cry.
Of the ship.
Talk about your vacation. Like, that's what happens?
I'd never been on a cruise.
Me either.
One, it just seemed like something that rich people would do as I was growing up. Then two, once I got older, I get motion sick in an elevator. So I'm not getting on a boat
elevator.
4 days.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine how scary that must have been.
No way,
because all you're thinking in your head is, near, far, wherever you are, You're going down like the Titanic.
Oh, you start counting the raft boats.
Celine Dion's going to be singing a new song about you in the next movie. And I'm pushing all the women and children out and hopping in that canoe, man.
The people playing the violin or the last ones on there.
Going down with the ship. Oh. Anyone here been on a cruise?
Ever? I have.
Lunchbox, you've been on a cruise?
Yeah.
Which one? Oh, the Alaskan one.
Yeah.
See the bomb cyclone?
No, but I saw some glaciers in or little ice chunks in the water, and you got to be scared. But I won't go out there where you can't see land because I'm scared of the Titanic going down and being shark food. So you could see land the whole time, so I was okay.
So you only went on the cruise because you could stay by the land the whole time?
Yep.
So the boat stayed by the land the whole time? Isn't that kind of counterintuitive of what a cruise is?
No, because you got to travel all of Alaska. Because without it, you would only get to see one city because Alaska is so big and you have to fly and it gets ridiculous. So you take a cruise, you can see the land.
I've never been to Alaska. That seems cool.
How close was the land?
I mean, it looks close, but it's probably a long ways away.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 500 feet.
I could throw a rock to it.
We were in a bass boat, flat bottom, driving around Alaska.
Yeah, 40 horsepower.
Trolling motor was taking it.
Yeah, right.
I'm jealous. That's why.
I'm just joking with you, man.
Yeah, no, I got it. I got your joking, right. But I'm just telling you, I wouldn't go out there in the ocean like these people. That's just dumb.
Speaking of ice, Lunchbox goes and he tests out the icy pond for Eddie.
Yes, my children.
Because you wanted to take your kids out on it?
Yeah, they've been talking about it because it's ice. It's been so cold. They're like, we want to walk on a pond. I'm like, oh, boys, yes. We'll find a pond that's good for you and we'll take you out. So I got Uncle Lunchbox to test it.
I wanted to bring my kids ice skating, but before they come, I wanted to try it out with Lunchbox.
I'm on the pond.
Hey, okay, jump up and down. Higher.
It's gonna break on him.
No, it's solid.
Should I bring the boys?
Yeah, you can bring the boys to skate.
Look, that rock is frozen in there. Guys, I heard something.
I heard a crack. Why are you scared?
Did you hear that?
Did you take him on that pond?
Dude, no, my kids.
What do you mean?
Even before we got there, I'm like, there's no chance I'm going to take my kids out of here. Dude, that crack was so scary. I got a video of it. I'll post it.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think that pond was ready to be walked on.
It sounds like he's about to drop to the bottom of the creek.
Yeah, well, he went to the middle of it.
That's crazy. I would never do that.
Yes. I wasn't that far out. He went to the middle of it.
You see Christina Aguilera's dog, 17 years old. She had to put it down.
Oh.
A 17.
That's a long life, though,
for
a dog.
That is. You're right. And this resonated with me because my dog is sick. He's 14, 14 and a half. He was sick last night. I have some medicine. The medicine was making him drunk. He couldn't even walk up the steps.
Really?
Yeah. But he's good. When he's not good, I'm going to have to make this tough decision. He's good. That medicine sometimes puts him off a bit. But Christina Aguilera's mourning the loss of her 17-year-old dog. 17. Wow. She wrote on Instagram. I saw another Demi Lovato post. No, Selena Gomez. I don't know. They're the same to me.
Yeah, they're the same to me. Yeah. Well, they're people I don't know. Like, wouldn't even.
They look the same to me.
You're right. Yes.
Maybe it was Selena Gomez. She goes outside of her house that she grew up in near Dallas. And she takes a picture outside of her house, and she's, this is where I grew up. And I thought it was a pretty cool post. And I looked over at Demi Lovato's, who I confuse all the time on Instagram. And she's taking pictures of herself in a swimsuit.
At the beach?
Like selfies, where it's just, you know.
But, oh, yeah, fully. Like,
yeah, you see a lot.
Yes.
But it's always the people online that they're like, hey, be proud of your bodies, that have like rocking bodies.
I hate that.
You never see Eddie on there with his shirt off going, hey, be proud of you.
I would never do that.
It's it's Demi Lovato who has rocking resources.
Yes.
I mean,
she looks good.
Trainer, great. She's like, girls, just be proud of your body. She's shredded.
How much money do you think she spends on her body?
I don't know the
trainer,
answer to that.
But I mean, a lot, right? She pays attention to her body.
Absolutely. And has time and resources to really do it.
Yes.
And it's unfair of me to say this, but it's okay. I'm unfair. I think that when you only have the hottest people going, hey, be proud of your body, it makes everybody who's not the hottest, even myself, I feel like, oh, I don't want to take, I'm not taking my shirt off in a picture. That dude's ripped.
Yeah.
And he's telling me that I should be proud.
Yeah. Like if Gosling told me, be proud of your body, I'd be like, no, dude.
If he's shirtless, like, hey, guys, we're all in this together. Be proud.
No, I'm not proud of this.
We don't look like that.
No chance.
Yeah, those two are confusing to me.
Yeah.
As I started telling the story.
Selena. Well, I always see Selena with her face. She's got that unique, like, little, like, mouse face.
She looks a lot younger. I sat beside her in an awards show once, and she looks like she's about 15 in the face.
Really?
Yeah. The rest of her doesn't look 15.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Well, what do you want me to say? I think she's
20. No, I know what you're saying.
How old is Selena Gomez?
I don't know, but she's...
like 24, 25,
That's fair for me to say that.
Sure. Yes, it's fair. But I know what you're saying, but it just sounds weird.
25? All good. 25. There. Yeah. This is a Bobby Bones show. Bobby Bones. I go to a restaurant last night. A friend comes to town, so we have an early dinner. And so I go to the bathroom. And on one door, there's an umbrella. And on the other door, there's a pony.
No, get
out. Now, you tell me which one's man and which one's woman.
No clue. How would you tell from an umbrella and a pony? Oh, okay. I'd go in the pony.
Please. Okay.
I'd go in the pony.
What?
I'd for sure go in the pony.
Why?
Because pony, you know? Like, you think horse.
You're just
pony.
Guessing. There's nothing masculine or feminine or man or woman or about either one of those.
Well, then explain. What's the umbrella and what's
no,
the pony?
No, the explanation is I walked into the umbrella because I didn't know, and there were no urinals. It's always in the wrong one. I walk in, and I go, uh-oh, and I walk out, and I open the pony, and I look in, and I see two urinals.
Oh, no. You peeked in the pony? Okay, we're good.
I got a good eyeball. But there's no way to know between an umbrella and a pony bathroom is which bathroom.
Was there like a color code? Like blue,
no, they were like pink? Black spray painted on.
No, that's terrible. So restaurant needs to rethink that one.
Does anyone know why those would be either one?
No, I just Googled, does an umbrella mean woman?
What are you getting?
What does it say?
I got umbrella on Urban Dictionary just means be under the care and supervision.
But if you're going that deep for a bathroom door, you shouldn't
not working.
Go. So that's what I did last night. I went to Starbucks yesterday morning.
Uh-huh.
My Starbucks driver had incredibly short arms. Like their body was tall, but he had he couldn't reach out the window.
Oh, or the drive-thru?
Yeah.
Huh, so was that a problem? They probably shouldn't put him at the drive-thru.
I felt like they were putting him in a bad situation.
Be like, yeah, Jerry, you know, he probably shouldn't put him in the drive-thru.
They
anymore.
Were putting someone
arms.
In a spot to not win.
Yeah.
He had a really short arm.
Yeah, you have to have long arms to work the drive-thru. Because you got to reach in.
Because I had to climb out the window and and reach out.
Dude, you had a rough day yesterday.
A humorous, awkward day. But yeah,
that's life, though. You have to like notice those funny things in life, like you're going to the wrong restroom because there's an umbrella or a pony. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Well, I went in a boat.
And then Jerry with the short arms working the drive-thru.
I just thought this poor guy probably gets reminded all day long that he has short arms.
Yeah.
Because everyone has to reach in the window.
Wow.
I know. Tonight, the game, national championship game, if you want a nosebleed ticket, it'll cost you $1,500 to sit at the very top worst seats in the stadium.
And people are going
to
buy that.
That's what they're what they're going
That's
for
crazy.
Resale. On StubHub, if you want to get in a box, it's $90,000.
Wow.
But if you got $90,000 to spend, why not?
Yes. I guess some people I know would. Like Luke would, Urban would. Like Garth would.
Al Dean.
But you're talking about a different class of money that I don't even understand.
Yeah.
That has that kind of money.
I don't know other than those guys. Like, I don't know people that would even.
And you don't even know by hanging out with them. Because I was with Luke. Probably 2 weeks ago, we were together for about 4 hours, hanging out, talking about some work stuff. And he doesn't act like somebody with a lot of money.
Mm-mm. You're right, he doesn't. Is that humble? Would you say that's humble? Or
that's somebody who grew up without a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, because you definitely feel that around Luke. You don't feel like, oh, money guy. Even with like Garth, and I know he has a lot of money. He walk in with like a ball cap backwards and like a flannel shirt and be like, this dude looks like my uncle.
Garth walks in like, hey, I'm broke. We're like, we believe it.
Yeah, no, you're not.
We believe it.
Bobby Bones, everybody.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
Come on, Bobby.
These stories where people mess with other people's food really irritate me because once I went to a restaurant and someone spit in my food. Oof. And they called another radio show to talk about it.
Ooh.
And so I get really irritated, really upset when people mess with other people's food. And there's this chef, she's at a restaurant, and there was a vegan in. She's like, I'm vegan, I don't want. And she goes on Facebook and brags about how she spiked a vegan with meat.
No.
Isn't that...
That's terrible.
Isn't that low? Like, the bad human.
That's the one thing that you don't, like, mess with. Like, they're ingesting that. They're putting that in their body.
Yeah, she, who is a chef and co-owner of this restaurant, lost her patience with a group of vegans. And she wrote... I just spiked a vegan's food.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. Like, you got to throw her in jail.
Yeah.
You got to fine her or something.
Yeah, something. No.
If someone put alcohol, I've never had a drink of alcohol. If someone serves me alcohol and I don't know about it and that's how I have alcohol the first time, I'll sue them.
You have every right to do anything you want to do to them.
I don't even know how to sue somebody.
You figure it out.
I have no idea. I'll look it up on the internet. How do I sue somebody?
Google.
Yes. And then I will sue them. because that's not cool.
No, it's not.
And I know it's funny when I laughed. It's funny, but it's not.
No, it's not.
It's like watching somebody fall off a roof of a house.
It's kind of funny.
Like, it's funny on camera,
but
in real life, it's not funny. Yeah. Lunchbox, how would you handle that?
Man, I'd sue them, but I'm laughing at it because it isn't me.
Do you remember when they spit on my food and went on the
radio? Funny.
They called another morning show and they were like, yeah, I work at a restaurant.
That's cold.
I spit a hawker on Bobby food.
No. That's terrible.
I was so upset. And also, I'm a germaphobe. For sure, I thought I got Ebola. I was like, ugh. I started feeling it in my throat. There's an app you can play trivia for free and actually win money. It's called the HQ app. It's basically a TV show on your phone. First time I've ever seen a game show on a phone. And so I've been playing it since Christmas, and Eddie texted me last night at 8 o'clock exactly. So, hey, yeah, get on this app. We'll play against each other. And so I'm rocking the questions, right? And you have to get 12 of them to win $10,000. They give away free money, and it's free. But there's a million people playing, and everyone who lasts all 12 splits the money, which is like 50 people, right?
It's not bad.
It's tough. So I'm on question 8 or 9, and I send Eddie a message. Hey, are you still in? He goes, no, my 4-year-old pushed a button.
That's what
I
said.
No. Stop. Guys, I can't make that up. Like, I'm dead serious. The whole family were at the table, and the iPad sit in the middle. And the question was so easy. Like, what's the British newspaper called or whatever? And the rest of the options were so dumb. So I was about to hit mine, and he reaches over and hits, like, crumpets, the crumpet gazelle. And I'm like, what? No, what? And it was wrong, of course.
Steve, I don't believe him.
I don't believe him at all. I think he got it wrong. He's embarrassed.
You want me to get audio of Junior just confessing that he did that?
No.
Well, of course you should be. Hey, Junior, say you did this.
I give you a cookie now when I say
yeah, I mean, how hard is that? I couldn't make it up. Yeah,
I wouldn't lie about that.
You should play the HQ game.
I downloaded it because you guys talked about it, but I don't know how to play because every time I open it, there's no one there.
No, it's only at 2 and 8.
2 p.m., 8 p.m.
Central time.
Oh, I'll set my alarm.
There's no one there.
He gets on at a random hour.
I do. No. I haven't figured out.
Dear HQ, it's Lunchbox. Why can't I see you?
I want to play your game.
We named our first artist in the class of 2018, which is Jillian Jacqueline.
Bobby Bones, class of 2018. Member Jillian Jacqueline.
We've got all our reasons.
We'll do another one tomorrow around 8:20 again, Central time. So you can check her out on my Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones.
Yeah!
Bobby Bones
Show.
Maren Morris was on today. We talked to her. Amy was in. We talked to her. We named our brand new artist, our first one in our class of 2018. I got to announce my stand-up comedy tour. It was a pretty packed Monday. To hear the show, just go over to iHeartRadio or iTunes and search Bobby Bones Show on Demand. I now have the meeting with all the suits that flew in from New York and L.A.
What are y'all going to talk about?
The show.
Oh, great.
I know, right? 3 hours. Sitting there looking at a PowerPoint.
Oh, you can back us up, though, right? You'd be like, hey, these guys, these are my dudes. Like, they've been working hard. My crew.
That's not really how it works.
No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
We may come in one person less tomorrow, maybe two. Yeah.
Well, sorry, Lunch.
I know. So
see you guys later.
We'll play the lottery and see what happens. I will see you tomorrow. I'm on Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones.
The Bobby Bones
Show.